Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN here on a Thursday morning. And we are going to be chatting with a few different guests here today. Got a busy lineup here. We've got some guests from Fort Riley. We've also got some guests from the Manhattan Housing Authority who we'll get to around 9:30 this morning. But we will start first with our Fort Riley guests. We've got a couple we'll hear from in this first segment and then another guest in segment number two. We're going to start first, though, with Lori McCauley, who is with the Exceptional Family Member Program out at Fort Riley. She's going to be talking about Autism Awareness Month. Good morning to Lori.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you on here. And tell us a little bit, first of all, kind of your background there at Fort Riley.
Okay. I'm the Exceptional Family Member Program Manager here at Fort Riley and work with the program, which is a Department of Defense program. And its main purpose is to assist with medical and military personnel in making arrangements to accompany the soldier and their family to the right location so that family members can continue to get the right type of services and that soldiers can continue to be able to continue with their jobs.
Okay. And tell us why autism awareness is important.
Well, autism is... World Autism Day is April 2nd, and it's a day that recognizes and spreads awareness for the rights of people with autism. And typically, the condition starts during childhood and continues into adulthood. With what happens is that the more that we can get children in with the correct types of therapeutic services and resources, they can learn to manage and be very functional with their life skills. And so that's what we're wanting to do is to recognize autism and help children and families get the right resources and referrals.
All right. And so what all is Fort Riley doing here this month to promote autism awareness?
Well, we have blue lights that we've been giving out and we've asked families to participate in putting the blue light out on their front porch to recognize autism awareness. We have participated in the month of the Military Kids Fest. And then we also are having a sensory friendly family movie that's going to be April 24th. And then we have our spring fling that we always do every year for families with all diagnoses to come and join us to do crafts and activities, and we have that set up a little bit differently than typical, but we're still going to try to provide that where families can learn to do activities at home with their kiddos and to possibly interact with others in a physical distance atmosphere and get connected to others. And then we've had information tables out this month too.
All right. And as far as services offered there for Riley, what do you offer through the Exceptional Family Member Program?
Well, we do a multiple of connections and referrals. So what we basically do is try to get the families connected to the right services and kind of monitor that with them. So if they're needing, not sure where to start their kiddo with like educational sources, then we get them connected to the schools and which appropriate connection that is. If they're needing to get therapeutic services, we work with the hospital and getting them connected to the right case manager to kind of help with that direction of getting the referrals and authorizations with their doctors and monitoring that. We help with housing, you know, like if they're needing any type of accommodations there, we can help with that. Any connections for like when soldiers have their orders to go to another installation, we want to communicate with that gaining installation so that they can help with the family to adjust and get connected to the appropriate resources there. We work closely with child youth services and ensuring that kiddos with any type of diagnosis and needs to be and making sure that we have the right ratio and kiddos are able to get the right types of services and that we can accommodate appropriately and safely. And then we do a monthly Facebook Live to kind of help families, encourage families to participate with home activities that are available. And then we send out information emails we just try to be as informative and as connective as we can with families.
And that's so important because you have so many people who come to Fort Riley, they transition, they come from out of state, and that's got to give a little bit of peace of mind, I imagine, to a lot of these parents.
Well, we sure hope so. That certainly is one of our main goals, is try to help them, because it does make a big difference. And if we can catch them when they first come or prior to them coming, it makes a huge difference for them in getting that transition settled down for them.
Well, if families want to reach out to you, how can they learn more about the services you offer?
Okay, we're located at the Army Community Service in Building 7264, and our direct number is 785-239-9435. And then we also have all installations have an EFMP medical person at the hospital, and that person is in charge of all the enrollments, updates, and any type of screenings that need to occur for special needs family members.
All right. Well, wonderful information, Lori. Thank you so much for all that. And I know you got to get to another meeting here, so we'll let you go. And we're going to bring on Cheryl Greathouse now. Thank you, though, Lori.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Cheryl Greathouse is going to join us here, and she is with Child and Youth Services. We're going to talk a little bit about Month of the Military Child going on here in the month of April. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, I've heard a little bit about this. What you want to give us kind of a history on this and kind of what the purpose is here?
Yeah, Month of the Military Child actually started in 1986. The Department of Defense designated April as the month to recognize military children. And so that's exactly what we do. And it's a big month for Child and Youth Services. We provide a lot of activities and events and really encourage community and parent participation to help recognize and just celebrate the military child.
All right. And I spoke last week, I think it was with Perry Wiggins, General Perry Wiggins, with the governor's executive director of the governor's military council. And we spoke a little bit about this, but there are some real challenges in the military children have that other kids just simply don't have. I think a lot of that is the movement.
Yeah, and there are a lot of advantages, a lot of unique opportunities that military children have, but definitely moving around a lot, frequent moves, sometimes makes it hard to build long-lasting relationships. You know, one of the other things that military children can face are long separations from their parents. And so, you know, we recognize that can be a challenge for them, and we want to to help everybody else understand that too, because as many people as possible who understand that, we can be here to support and help military children when they are dealing with some of these things.
Well, how has the pandemic impacted your services there, and what have you been able to continue to offer to military families?
Well, the pandemic, definitely, we're not unique in that it has definitely affected us. We had to look at all of our services and really evaluate, how we could continue. We, you know, keeping children safe and healthy is always a priority for us, but COVID definitely took that to a whole new level. And so we had to really look at the group sizes that we had in our programs. We had to look at what activities we were offering, and we focused on the essentials. So our full day childcare services, all of those things that need to happen so that parents can continue to work. That's what we focused on at first. And we made sure that, you know, we were following all the COVID mitigations, keeping the same groups together during the day, following all the CDC recommendations, frequent cleaning, the use of masks for older children. And so that has been a unique experience for us. And slowly but surely, as things improve, we are looking at bringing back some of those what we call non-essential services, but they're the fun activities like our team sports and some of our other bigger events too for Month of the Military Child.
Well, that's good to hear. And I'm sure you've got a lot of stuff planned here during April. And tell us how you're making those things happen, even given some of the restrictions we have.
Yeah, this is still a very unique experience, but we are very excited this month because we've been able to bring back some of our traditional events for Month of the Military Child, but they just look a little different now. For example, last weekend on Saturday, the 3rd, we did our Kids Fest, and that is normally a very big event for us. And we usually see up to 2,500 participants. And so we had to figure out how we could still provide the experience. And so what we decided to do was make it a drive-through event this year. And so we tried to provide the same type of activities that we would normally provide. The big event usually has a lot of booths and tables where children and families can walk up and play a game or do a craft. And so we modified that. For example, we had a Plinko board and, they had to stay in their cars as they were driving through, but they got to direct where a staff member would drop the chip for the prize. And we had a lot of handouts that we did. And so we made sure that our staff, wore masks, wore gloves, stayed physically distant, but we were still able to provide, I think, a fun experience. The feedback was wonderful.
That's great. It's so nice to see people get creative with activities like that. And it's so important to continue that even given a pandemic. As far as children and youth you serve there, what's the estimate on numbers like for you guys?
So normally under normal operation, we usually have about 5,000 registered children that we serve throughout all of our programs on a daily basis using essential services, usually about 1,100 children a day. Again, COVID has restricted us a little bit, but slowly but surely we're going to get back to where we were.
All right. And military families want to learn more about what's available through Child and Youth Services, what should they know?
Fort Riley Child and Youth Services does have a Facebook page, and so we like to post all of our current information and event information on our Facebook page. We also, although we provide services in multiple buildings, we have one office that is the front door to our services, and that's our Parent Central office. And so they will have all information about all activities, and their phone number is 785-239-9885.
Okay. Well, very good information here. Again, Month of the Military Child continuing here in the month of April. Cheryl Greyhouse has been our guest. Thanks so much, and continue the good work.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity this morning.
You bet. Stay tuned. We're going to continue in focus. Our Fort Riley segment continues next. We'll be talking with Leanne Slinger about an upcoming fishing derby. Stay tuned.